You're listening to The Power of Us on Revolver Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Power of Us. This is Abel.
And this is his vocabulary-loving wife, Rosie.
Vocabulary.
Yes, I love words. Right. Word lover.
If you guys have ever been to an elementary school, you know that caterpillar that has those glasses? That's what she looks like right now.
I'm wearing your glasses, bro.
Yes.
So. I was told I look very young in them, which is kind of a compliment. But if you're telling me I look smart, then that's a real compliment.
Okay. Yes.
I love words. I am very big on words.
Yes, you are. You are very, very big.
Ask Sammy and Eli.
Yes.
Today he used an absolute. And we discussed it.
Oh, you guys had a discussion? Who? You and Eli had a discussion?
Eli and I had a discussion.
Oh, how long was this discussion?
It'll last forever. I talk. He just kind of like looks at me like I'm an idiot. But he said never. Mm. And I had to tell him not to use words like never.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. He also told me that you're his favorite.
Oh.
Well, I told him he's my favorite son.
Uh-huh.
And he said, no, Papi's my favorite.
Oh, that was his reply. All right.
So is it fine? I don't care who's your favorite. I'm telling you, you're my favorite son. And then he did reply, you're my favorite mama.
Oh,
so out of all the mamas great. He has, I'm the favorite. But anyway, so I'm trying to teach him and Sammy mm-hmm. not to use absolutes.
Yeah.
Like, he always ruins everything. It's like the worst sentence ever.
Right.
And I was thinking, how do we stop our kids from saying that, because it's normal. They watch a lot of shows and like a lot of over dramatized stuff.
Yeah.
Like people on YouTube have to say like, always my favorite. This is the best ever. And I'm like, you said that last video.
Wow.
So I'm trying to like teach Sam, hey, they're acting. They're mm-hmm. overdoing it for a show. But so anyway, what I thought of is for it to get out of their vocabulary, they have to hear our vocabulary. Yeah.
That's such an interesting thing. And like, not just kids, but like adults too.
Mm-hmm.
Over-dramatization in stuff that we watch.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's trickled
down. Did you
down.
See my post the other day? Because I didn't see you like it.
Which
you
post?
You definitely didn't comment.
Which post?
The post of you and I together when we went to Hemet Falls, where there was no falls. Just
Hermit Falls?
Hermit.
The one where I look all tore up? Yeah, I saw that one.
I look tore up too, bro. I didn't even give myself a tan. You see how pale I was? You didn't look tore up. Shut up. You look fine.
No.
I look tore up.
So, yes, I did. I did see it.
Okay, well, that caption really, really got to people about like how TV mm-hmm. makes things over-sensationalized, how sex out of marriage, kissing out of marriage, even conversations and friendship out of marriage seem so interesting, but marriage is boring.
Right.
And so that has a lot to do with the over-dramatization.
Yep.
Now, sometimes there is dramatization in the marriage, though. Like, we do it to ourselves. Is that us trying to make it interesting?
Is it good or bad?
No, it's usually bad.
Yeah, it's usually bad.
It's usually bad.
Yeah.
Because, like, we'll go to the extreme on the bad stuff, and maybe that's to make it, in a weird way, interesting?
I don't know. I think it's a way to release. And I think that we, like you said, I think that we are conditioned to believe, this is terrible, conditioned to believe that the way the bad stuff comes out is good, and the way the good stuff comes out is
it's
corny
fake.
And cheesy
and lame. Yeah, lame.
Yeah, like the way...
Men are conditioned like that?
I think, yeah. Like, just running up to her and kissing her and stuff like that, that's so stupid, you know?
It's
that's
not. The way we're conditioned. It's amazing.
But like, when you get so upset that you'll slam a door, that feels right, because you're releasing some sort of energy as you're upset and you're closing the door.
She'll know. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's terrible, man. But yes, that's exactly what's going on. And it's trickling down to real life, because now we're having these people that are not necessarily actors on Instagram, on YouTube, on social media platforms and stuff like that are also doing dramatizations.
They're never talking in their normal voice. They're mm-hmm. always smiling.
Yep.
They're never... everything from their tone of voice to the words that they're saying is over the top, and it's over the top good. And then I think people in their personal and their real life go over the top negative.
Right. So how do you think we can relate this to our marriage, to marriage in general?
Well, we have to, I think we change the language of our marriage. Let the good be great. Let the good be over-dramatized in a real way.
You know what, babe?
That's in a sincere way.
I'm going to be like super open with you. We didn't have this discussion, obviously. We just kind of just winged it on this podcast. But
we didn't wing it. I had a plan.
You had a plan? You came up with this topic like 2 minutes before I started.
And it's a good topic.
It is a great topic. Yes, and we're pretty well-versed in it. So yes, great job. But
it's a real-life situation.
The thing that I've like really been like struggling with and contemplating with is like, where the hell did I go wrong? Where like our good was great and our bad wasn't that bad.
Mm.
And I've really been like contemplating that for months.
You need to listen to No Doubt again. Ugh. Underneath it all. That'll help you.
Okay.
When it's bad, it's not that bad.
I guess I understand.
That's what she said.
Yes, I understand what Gwen Stefani said, but I don't know if Gwen Stefani can be like my representation. You know, she
wears color.
Yeah, she's just
She does push-ups.
She actually does. She's pretty fierce when it comes to being a scrawny white girl, but having
she's
abs.
Not a scrawny white girl.
She's that very girl thin muscle. And extremely ripped for whatever it's gorgeous. Reason. And so she's awesome. But yeah, and it's like because our term used to be like, oh, when it's good, it's great. And the bad really isn't that bad. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, man, and our relationship has gotten to the ups and downs, but it's gotten to the point where like, damn, like these bad things kind of just linger around.
Yeah.
And these good memories are few in between now. The ones that stay, because we have a lot of good times. There are moments where we laugh, but they don't like, ya no nos marcan. I don't know about you,
mm-hmm.
but our good moments, like they're not like scarring me and they're like in my heart, like when we were younger and stuff like that.
Yeah, I know.
But I mean, the way that we speak to each other, the words that are allowed, I mean, both good and bad situations, because believe it or not, I think that there are good situations where we shouldn't say certain things or talk a certain way. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today, right?
Yeah, because I think it really depends on all of us, but the good stuff, I'm audible. So I'm audio before I'm visual.
Mm.
So I need to hear good stuff for it to stick to me.
Mm.
So the fact that the good doesn't stick to me anymore is because I'm not hearing how good it was. Like, it's just, oh, you were there. Well, yeah, but how good was it for you?
Right.
You know, I had so like when we're dating and after the date, you do like a recap. Oh my God, that was so much fun. I really liked this and it was really pretty. And I'll, you know, we laugh so hard. We don't do recaps in marriage anymore as couples because, you know, well, you were there and I ain't got time. And oh my gosh, as soon as you get home from the date, we have all these things to take care of. So then the next morning, there's no recap. And so, but the bad stuff, the bad stuff gets back like 100,000 recaps again and again and again and hard.
Yeah.
So like, I think we have to either tone it, bring down the negative talk or for sure not make it so absolute, so definitive.
Yeah.
And the good stuff, you know, make it recaps, make it definitive.
Yeah.
Think you revert, and there's many ways of doing that. There's different ways, but for me, it's audible.
Yeah,
I need to hear good stuff either at the same level as the bad, or more would be awesome.
Yeah. So in a sense, bring up the good more than the bad, and that's what we do. It's like if she poured you a cup of coffee before you left while you were in a rush to work, bring that up 3-4 times in the day. Just like you would bring up the fact that, I don't know, she was late. You know, she was late to make a payment of
Not 3-4 times in the day because we want it to be genuine.
What I mean is,
but
like
every time,
make an effort.
She does it.
Yeah,
because she's like, gonna do it if she does it once and she gets that. I mean, we're going back to Freud, and I don't even know if we should that positive reinforcement. That positive reinforcement helps me.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think like, positive reinforcement can help everybody no matter what age they are.
Yeah.
And I think that vocalizing it often in 3-4 times like for the same coffee, probably it's like, oh my God.
This but like must every be time now. She brings a coffee.
Yes.
It's like, oh, the coffee was great today, babe. I really liked the milk to coffee ratio. It sounds really dumb, but that stuff helps me because I'm like, okay, I'll remember that one so that I make him that coffee. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes I'll make you, I don't really make you coffee a lot, but whatever. And I'm like, I don't know if I did it right.
Yeah.
But then I'm shy to ask you, or I just, it's dumb. I don't want to fish for compliments. So you stop even asking, like, hey, yeah, was the meat good? Was the chicken good?
See, in the beginning of the relationship, I think there was, in the beginning of our relationships, I think there's so much complimenting mm-hmm. going on.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of scar tissue yeah. in the relationship mm-hmm. of like, I was stabbed here, I was stabbed here, I was hurt yeah. here, this broke, that broke. You know, to the point where compliments are, they're bountiful, and you're just feeding this
yeah.
feeding this goodness. And now now as your relationship matures, and at this point we're almost at 10 years of being together, being married, and like 12, 13 years of being together, now these compliments are needed because you doubt.
Yeah.
You doubt a lot. And I think that this first step, or this thing that you're talking about, is something that's very much so needed. It is that you need the good compliments to be able to.
But do you know why the bad compliments stop?
Why?
Because then you feel dumb saying them after you've said all this.
Why the good compliments stop?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What did I say?
Why the bad compliments
Is that
stop?
What I said?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, why the good compliments stop? Because you feel so dumb.
Yeah.
Saying nice things after you spewed for 3 hours about right. what a dummy he is. You can't come back and say, oh, babe, you're so smart.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, and you think it. Yeah. I was thinking that today. I was thinking.
And then it's so hard because then you feel that stupid, and then you open up your mouth to be vulnerable to do it, and then a comeback comes.
Yes.
Up. Oh, yeah, you didn't think that yesterday mm-hmm. when I did
right.
this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, but
and
I'm,
then,
yeah.
And then that starts
the But I'm stupid at making the bed, huh?
Yeah. Damn, man. Gosh.
So then they diminish. Yeah. Like, we've had seasons where I can't call you babe because I'm so like to a fault of like, I gotta be real, like honest to a fault that mm-hmm. even to me, I'm like, I mean, of course he's my babe, but he knows he's my babe. I'm just not gonna call him that
right.
until Eli started calling you Abel. And I'm like, oh my God, that's horrible.
Mm.
You know? But I couldn't even reverse it anymore. So I had to ask God, we're like, what do I do? And a couple counselors we have at Oasis, you know, told us like, stop saying the negative unless it's in a conversation that's like calm and you're discussing something to come to an agreement on, not just, oh, I'm going to tell you everything that I think of you just because I thought it.
You know what? I truly think that the negative things that comes out, and again, I'm saying this because this is what I think. This is not what I do whatsoever. I think that
you're
the negative.
You're saying it in faith.
Yes, yes. The negative should take me three times as long of thinking about it before it comes out.
Mm.
I think the negative things that come out of our mouth, which if they're real,
yeah.
if it's like a big issue, like it's a negative issue, like, I don't know, let's say your husband isn't Christian or whatnot, and you guys go to a party and this guy just gets wasted every single time, and it's hard and it's embarrassing. Or your wife just spends way too much money at the mall every week. You guys are struggling because she's buying frivolous things that aren't necessities. You know, these conversations, we should have drafts and drafts and drafts in our head of how we're going to say them. Because just coming out and saying, tú eres una gastona.
Yeah.
You know, you're a drunk. You're an alcoholic.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. All that harsh stuff, like the word says, these harsh words will turn away. But sweet words will lend you an ear or something like that. And I'm paraphrasing from like the message. And so it's not about just being sweet with them, because sometimes we need to have serious conversations. And not everything can be sugar-coated. And not everything can be like, it's okay you did this, but let's try not to do this.
Yeah.
No, those conversations don't work in deep marriages. Those conversations probably don't work in marriages that are in it and that have gone through stuff. So having a serious conversation is important, but it's the way in which we have it, okay? We can't be loose with our words, and that's what I truly feel. I think that we've gotten to the point where we have made a lot of mistakes. And I think that, babe, you and I can now kind of say give a few ideas of what we have.
Yes.
Of what should be out of the marriage. And what we're still currently even taking out of the marriage, guys.
Right. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
The stuff that I'm going to work on now.
Yeah. So as soon as we come back from the break, we're going to go over those things that we truly believe can help our marriage by taking them out.
Babe, I love our Ring because with the Ring video doorbell, I can stay connected to our home from anywhere.
So if you get a package delivery, a surprise visitor at your door, you'll get an alert and you'll be able to see them, hear them, speak to them anywhere.
Right from my phone. And Ring makes it easy to protect the whole home with doorbells, security cams, and an alarm you can install yourself.
I love it how easy it was to install. It's ridiculously easy. It took me about less than 10 minutes. It was awesome.
So with the Ring, I can be connected from anywhere in the world, whether we're out in the sequoias and someone rings a doorbell, or even in my vanity when I'm doing my makeup and I need to know who showed up during COVID, boom.
The Ring motion detection is awesome. It lets me know when somebody's coming in or when a person's going to drop off a package, but they don't ring the doorbell.
Get a special offer on the Ring welcome kit when you go to ring.com/Rosie.
The welcome kit includes the Ring Video Doorbell 3, and a Chime Pro.
It's all you need to start building custom security for your home today.
Just go to ring.com/Rosie.
That's ring.com/Rosie.
With so much hate in the world, we decided to make some spiritual gear. Something that's positive, you know?
Say what you feel and live on your shirt.
Exactly. Phrases like humble warrior, spiritual gangster, pray more, worry less. You can find those all at rosierivera.com.
All right, guys, welcome back from the break. So we're talking about these things that in our marriage that we've come to find out that we should really take out if we want our marriage to not get worse and to get better. One of those main things, babe, or do you have anything to add before we get going?
No, okay, we're on it.
One of these main things is one that you've already brought up, and that's the term of absolutes.
Mm-hmm.
An absolute in a marriage, I think, has never been truth.
Yeah. I think ever, even in any relationship.
Yeah, like
anything in life. So yeah. An example is like, he's always mean.
Yeah.
Mm. Or, so that's something Sammy can say.
Yeah,
right?
Even and the opposite of he always comes through.
He's always nice.
Yeah.
Tampoco.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, there are words that are
But they have a lot of weight.
They're extreme.
They have a lot of weight.
Yes.
And it makes a person feel what it is. It's an opposite.
So then it makes the person feel like this is what he really thinks. So even the times that I was kind or that I did something well, it doesn't matter because in his head, that's the truth. Mm-hmm. So it's not even like I believe it because I'm like, no, I am nice sometimes. I am kind. I am funny, you know? I'm gonna say in his mind, he thinks I'm always mad.
Mm.
And so it's like, why try and show him that I'm not mad? There's no point. It's engraved in stone in his head.
Yeah.
And then it becomes engraved in stone in my heart.
Yeah.
So one of the words that we learned, it's from the Bible, but it says of the abundance of the heart comes out of the mouth. So whatever there is in your heart, that's what's going to come out of mm-hmm. your mouth. And then there's another one that says what defiles a man is not what goes in his mouth, but what comes out his mouth.
Yeah.
So I've been really thinking about that, baby, because I've worried my whole life about like, oh, what I eat. There's always like this battle of the bulge with me. So. And that just really got to me of like, let's worry more about what goes out. Yes, be concerned and aware of what goes in. We're doing mm-hmm. LA strong right now and, you know, getting rid of this COVID-15. But more important than what goes in, because I can work out an extra mile. I can run.
Yeah.
But I can't take away what I said to you. Get me? Like there has to be a whole process of like talking to Jesus and then reversing it. And so what defiles a woman is what comes out of her mouth more than what goes in and have the abundance of your heart. So if that's why I believe words when you say them, I'm like, mm-hmm. if he says I'm always mean, then there's no point in being nice. So take them out of your marriage because it's like you're evaluating the marriage and no one wants to be evaluated in any area, not cooking, not cleaning, not being a good mom, not your sex life. So when you say absolutes like that, it's like an evaluation of me as a whole when I'd rather have like moments. Yes, I was mean that day. Dude, you're right. That chicken wasn't good. You're right. I'm going to change it and just throw away that seasoning or not buy that chicken again. Or I won't cook like that again.
Yeah.
But the words, oh, she's just a bad cook. She is.
Yeah.
So I would take those out. Any absolutes. And absolutes are never, always, I forgot all the rest. All those words that is like there is no other option.
Because there's always are, is, you know.
Yeah, well, that's a different way of speaking.
Yeah.
That's something else I was gonna bring up. So the you are versus your being. Because I'm not.
Right.
I am.
Yes.
We are human beings.
That's
we are
good.
Humans transforming. We are humans becoming. God is the only one that is, because he doesn't change. He is so solid and so perfect that he just is. But all the rest of us, we are transforming and we should be transforming. So I was,
yeah,
or I have been, or I have acted, yes,
yeah,
but it's not I am. I'm still trying to figure out in every stage who I am, depending on my age and
yeah,
everything that's going on in my life. But when people say stuff like, you are mean,
mm-hmm,
well, I'm acting mean, I'm in a bad mood,
right,
so
completely.
Being mean, and I can change that. See, the you are,
yeah,
makes you feel like you
can't
change
it. That, like, that's your person, but you are being mean.
Yeah.
It feels like a momentary thing.
Yeah.
It sounds momentary, and that's,
yeah,
great.
Yeah, and it is momentary,
yeah,
because that gives us the option to switch. If
right,
you tell me you're being mean, and it hits me in the right spot, I could be like, change it. What
yeah,
sounds mean? My tone of
yeah,
voice, the words that I'm saying, boom. I can literally change it. And that's all we can do. According to books that I've read, it's like, be aware
yeah,
and change it right then.
Yeah.
Right? Being selfish, egotistical, mean, all those things, you can switch.
Yeah.
But if I am mean, then it feels like, well, I can't change. Dude, you got stuck with the
yeah,
mean lady.
The way that you guys can combat this, or like really kind of like focus on this, is to really, really stay in that moment.
Yeah.
Don't go into the past. Once I start digging into our past, that's when things come out of you are, it's always been.
Because it seems like an absolute. It
yeah,
seems heavy. Because yeah, when we go into our past, the bad stuff comes up so quick
yeah,
in
yeah,
our mind.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's everyone. We're not going to
yes,
pretend. I think that's everyone. But we have to stop it. Because the enemy will use that to get into your brain. And
right,
then you overthink and overthink.
Right.
And what one of our counselors told us is, switch it. Rosie, switch that thought. Switch it.
Yeah.
He is always, or I always feel, or I feel this, you know. I've gotten so mad at people that I've thought, oh, I hate him.
Mm.
And God's like, you love him. And I'm like, okay. Like, he's like, switch that thought. And I said, well, I'm really mad at him right now. He's like, that's a different thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're mad at him. Well, I love him as a brother. Then, hey, then you love him. I love him as a human. Great. Then you love him. It's not the truth of you hate him.
Yeah.
And I'll literally have that whole conversation in my head. And then I'm like, oh yeah. But if I had stayed there, it's always like this. And he does this every 3 weeks. And this cycle always comes. And we always lose the fight. And we always lose to the devil. Like, he, yeah. And I stay
yeah,
there, he won. But if
yeah,
I have words that'll switch it in my mind, then that's what'll come out of my mouth.
So good. So good. Another one that I've really been thinking about a lot is, take this thought of, this is what she's supposed to do, out of your head.
Mm.
Right? If you think she's supposed to cook you breakfast every day, if you think he's supposed to bring money home every day, take that thought out of your head. Start living as if you are owed nothing and you owe everything.
Mm.
And you become so much more appreciative at the things that come your way, I think.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That's great.
And it's like, and this is like this is like stuff for people that are super struggling in their marriage right now.
I think it's like, for everyone.
Yeah. No, yes. But like, this helps you really, this is kind of like a jump start in your mind of
yeah,
like, train your mind to really
like
feel that you're owed
detox,
nothing.
That's yes, what you're doing.
Because when you feel entitled to something,
oh my gosh,
that's when the other person who's trying, and they're trying in the smallest forms, because everybody starts off small.
Yeah.
Nobody does something. When a marriage is screwed up, you don't start off by doing this huge thing. No, you start off by doing small things like texting them.
Testing the waters.
Yeah, hey, I love you, or something like that. You know, you feel like, oh, that's something you should have been doing. That's something you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. Start living your life right now. And this is for everybody, yes. But if you're in a really bad place, like a really bad place in your marriage, this is a way to jumpstart it and to really get your mind in a different place of living your life as if you're owed nothing and you owe everything.
Yeah.
And now,
if there is something you want, because I was thinking right now as you were saying it, you can ask her. Mm-hmm. And most of us, even when we're mad, most of us will be like, okay, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Now, later, I want to be able to do it with joy and with love. You know, but as a woman, as a husband, we can be even in a bad place. But if you ask, I'm speaking for me, I guess just speak for me and hopefully for most women. Like, and I think it depends on how you ask. Because if you tell us, hey, you're supposed to cook me lunch, I'd right. be like, really? Because no. I'm also supposed to. But if you would switch that and be like, hey, babe, I really like to eat at right. noon now because I'm on an eating plan.
Yeah.
Can you please have something made at noon?
Right.
I'll be like, okay, cool. I think yeah. I can do that.
Yeah, no, I'm speaking about this from a person, from a perspective of my thought.
Right. No, I know.
Yeah.
And for the people who have that thought,
yeah.
this is how you can kind of help, because people are going to be like, I know, okay, if she's not supposed to, I'm never going to get it. No, you can. Just kind of ask her.
I guess.
Instead of thinking she's supposed to make me lunch, she's never yeah. made me lunch. My mom used to always make me lunch.
Right.
She's going to be like, well, I didn't know.
Right.
I didn't know. Don't say you're supposed to make me lunch because my mom made it. Yeah. I think you should communicate it. What Abel said is 1,000% yeah. true. Switch your thinking, first of all. Mm. Renew your mind.
Yeah.
But then after you renew your mind and it's engraved in your heart, as I think that's where you're taking us, then we start speaking differently of like, hey, can we have lunch at 12? I'm kind of on this meeting.
Yeah.
It's not about you and you're supposed to. It's like, hey, this is kind of where my life is right now. Can you help me? If you tell a woman, can you help me? Oh, that changes everything.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make you less, husband. It's just like, I'd love to help you. I'd love to be able to do something for you. And go from there. But yes, I get 1,000% what you're saying. That entitlement mentality, it'll come out as words too.
It'll help you.
And they hurt so much on this end.
Yeah.
Because if you're entitled in your mind and in your heart, the other person is just never going to feel enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, or that what she thought was kindness.
Yeah.
What's not even kindness. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to be. So what is kindness?
Right.
How do I go far and beyond for him if everything is just supposed to be?
Right.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, so it'll really help you just get into a place of gratitude, being grateful for the things that are done for you. Another thing that I've done that I've just been really working on is take out these adverbs. These adverbs.
Descriptive words?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, adverbs.
Yeah.
Go before.
Yeah, take out these descriptive verbs or adjectives. I don't know. I got like a B in English, and then like I didn't go to honors or anything. So
still confused about what you're going to say.
Yeah,
adverb, sorry. Adjective, noun, or
so
verb.
So take out these words that really don't describe the mood that they are in. These words of you're being crazy.
Oh,
you're being ridiculous.
Yeah. Wow, stupid. Go list it.
Uh-huh. Yes, stupid.
Yeah. Because I've said stupid stuff, but I'm not stupid.
Right.
I've done stupid stuff, but I'm not stupid. Sorry, so Eli.
There's a lot.
Sorry, Eli. Eli pointed at me. Yeah. I know it's. I'm describing. I'm not. Sorry, Jesus.
There's a lot of these words that really have nothing to do. It like, but just putting it straight up, they have nothing to do with the fight. Okay.
Mm.
She's not being crazy. She is.
But I have acted crazy. And see, that's a different thing. But But go ahead.
Yes. Well, no. You've overreacted.
Yeah.
But crazy is just so demeaning.
Yeah.
And it puts you in a certain level. But that you're overreacting is definitely like something, you know?
I think crazy is one of those words that hurts women because it's been used so much for so many generations that it's one of those sting words. You're hysterical. You're oversensitive is those words are like, you know, I'm just like my mom, my grandma, my tia, every other woman that I said I'd never be like. So crazy, I think should be.
And these are like the PG words that we kind of go through, but like, I mean, there's always the B word.
The B word, the D word. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I'm over here just saying letters now. Yeah. The Z word.
Yeah, the pendijo.
Spanish and English.
Yeah, because then you're going to be saying those.
Yeah. So for men, for women, for men to say to men, for women to say to men, oh my gosh, don't say anything with little.
Yeah.
You're little this, you're little that. Speaking both of activities, actions or body parts, like just take it out.
Yeah,
you know?
Dude. Yeah, a lot of these add-ons to some of these words in fights.
Yeah.
Can do the most damage.
Yeah.
Or they hit they hit a certain spot that make it even worse than what you're even, what's even coming out of your mouth.
Yeah.
You know, like if you say your job or your, no, your new business, the one business, you have a job and then you have a little business on the side. You have a business on the side.
Side hustle.
Yeah. Your side job is cutting into our family time.
Mm.
That's one thing. Mm-hmm. But when you say your little side job.
Yeah.
What you're saying, what we hear is your little side job that ain't ish, that ain't ever gonna be ish, that ain't brought nothing in here, that's never benefited us, that's stupid, I told you not to do it, all right? It's taken away from time from our family. That's what we hear when we hear that
that's
little.
That's what you said?
Yeah, that's what you said.
I went into hood?
Yeah. That's what we hear when you guys say little in front of something that we are passionate about.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, it's all that stuff. It makes a difference. Those are all things that we got to take out. That's a good one for women. The little,
any
the
demeaning term.
Yeah.
Any demeaning term.
And it goes both ways too, because I've done it as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are all words that can really be taken out because they cause more damage than they have ever and will ever in the history of humanity bring a benefit.
Yeah, so much.
To a relationship.
Yeah, then picking up that mess is really hard. And mm-hmm. I don't know if we're willing to do the work because mm-hmm. the work that comes after using those words is so intense and it's so meticulous and mm-hmm. it takes so long.
Yeah.
And the word literally spills out in a second.
Yeah.
And the damage is like, can be years. It can also be seconds. I mean, going to Christ, I know there's been times that we've done it well and we've said, I'm not even listening to you. It's not getting into my heart. We've literally said to you, what you just said, I ignore you. Cause half of the time when you're like this, I know you're speaking out of your butt.
Yeah.
And then I don't let it get to my heart. And then am I a little bit like, man, I hope he still says sorry, just so we know we're cool.
Yeah.
But even if you didn't, it'd be like, okay, Jesus, like we know your son.
Some of these words that come out of our mouth, some of them just honestly, they need Jesus in order for them to get fixed again.
Yeah.
And it's better that we are more careful with our tongue.
That's the issue. To that point. Okay, but, yes.
I just want to give this analogy.
James?
No. Okay, go. No. Sometimes when we say these things, guys, it's kind of like if we're putting something through a very good shredder. If you've ever accidentally put something through a shredder and you got to put it back together, it is the worst.
My gosh.
It can be done. It can be done. But the 3 seconds that it took to get that paper through that shredder, that birth certificate through that shredder, and this shredder didn't just cut into strips. Like this thing like cutting, you know, in squares and little things. And it's meticulous. And it takes a lot of work, so much work that it wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
So
that's great, babe. Like that. But I was thinking about James. James said that the tongue is the most powerful, I don't know. He said is a very powerful tool, muscle, something that we have because it can burn down a whole forest.
Mm.
Think about it. Like right now, there's fires in California that started off of one firework and 10,000 acres are burning like that. And of course, they're like, oh, we didn't mean it. But they weren't being safe or whatever, right? So like you don't mean to hurt your husband for years and years and years on his side business. You want him to dream. You want him to have a hobby. You like it when he comes home smiling. You know, you like what it does for him. But with one word, you didn't only take that hobby away. You took every other hobby because he was already thinking of 10 or 15 other businesses and you just wiped them all away by saying little, dumb, stupid. You always fail. Like you could have done that to him. Yeah. And it's a forest that was just burned down. Now, thank God, God is so good that forest can grow again. But the work that it's going to take on both sides is so much. And the second thing I wanted to say is we can't heal each other, which is the tough part.
Mm.
We can't. I want you to heal me. I want it to be you. You said I was crazy. I want you to be the one that makes me feel calm and collected and cool and classy. And I'm a different type of woman. I want you to make me feel that. But you can't. You can't heal it. You can make me feel it later on. You could be like, hey, babe, what I meant was you're acting crazy or I didn't like what you said or stuff. But to make me feel or to heal me is only Jesus.
Yeah.
So we have to understand that. Like, Abel can't be my healer.
Yeah.
And just think about it with this analogy. Someone breaks your nose, they can't fix it. They're not a doctor.
Ooh.
He knows nothing.
Wow.
You have to go to the doctor to to fix your nose.
So good.
I still think you're going to pay the price though. Whoever socked you in the face is going to get the consequence. But both are in this point.
Yeah.
Get me? So no one ever wins when those words are brought out. And it can only be Christ. And that's why Christ has to be at the center to continuously be our healer, to continuously give us the help to and the power to forgive each other and to make us bite our tongue.
Yeah.
So
that's really good, babe. That was so good. I never thought about it like that, but it's absolutely true. Is that if I break your nose, I can't fix it.
Yeah, and you probably want to
because
you feel like a jerk for it.
So, I mean, I can drive you to the hospital.
Yes.
I can take care of you after.
Yes.
But I can't fix it.
So you can by taking me to Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is that sometimes we get into arguments or we get into discussions or even if it's not about us, say it's an outside source.
Yeah.
And I know I'm supposed to go to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
My blindness, my pain, my weakness won't take me there.
Yeah.
So some, yes, you can, but driving me to the hospital is like saying, hey babe, can we pray about it?
Yeah.
Can we, and just doing that to help me because I can't, a person with a broken nose can't drive themselves to the hospital. So I know it sounds crazy, but it could be someone else, but it would be awesome if it were you because now it's not just, oh, I'm sorry, I said it. It's mm-hmm. I'm going to be in you in the process to the healing part of it.
Yeah.
And women do that for your men too. Believe me, he'll never say no when you want to pray for him. Those words of affirmation, the heart that comes out, he knows you're not lying because you can't lie to God. So those words that are coming out in a prayer, he wants to hear them. He will hear them. And if he doesn't, write them out for him. Leave him a note. You know, like, hey, babe, I'm sorry I said that. Can we talk about it? Just anything. But do something. Do something. And the thing that you can do is bite your tongue and don't let those words come out.
These are all just ideas. These are all things that we have gone through in our relationship that we know that we need to take out of our relationship. And just to be, again, quite candid, these are things that still pop up. These are things that still come up that we still are working on to completely take out of our relationship because they are unnecessary. They cause more damage than they have ever brought any good. As a matter of fact, I don't think I could ever say one time that I've used an absolute demeaning word. Use the word ridiculous, and it led to us being able to get to a better space, a better place again. So this is the power of us. We pray, Lord, that this could have helped you. And our kids are going nuts.
We're still in quarantine, as are you.
So again, this is the power of us. We'll see you guys next week.